Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. You got it. Last week I was sick. I was out of the studio. But today I'm back in the studio to give God the glory, lift him up, and bring up not the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ. Today in our studio we have a guest, the youth pastor of
Palermo Bible Family Church, PBFC.
And his name is Chris Jacobson. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
And Chris is going to be on today really ministering to young people out there. And I hope if you have young people out there or if you know young people out there, you'll get them to listen to today's program. Let them know to turn in. This show is going to be dedicated to the youth today. So, Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you give a little bit of background about who Chris is and where Chris came from and how Chris's life was and then where Chris is today a little bit.
We're from Oroville, raised in Oroville, moved around a little bit, but always came back to Oroville. And I probably when I was about 17 and a half, 18 years old, I got married young. I got married at 18. I decided that that I needed to possibly do something in our church for the young people because we really didn't have a youth group. And I went to the pastor and he said, nope, you're not ready. There's no way I'm going to allow you to do it. And so I kind of got discouraged and I called an old youth pastor of mine who's now a senior pastor in Roseville. And he said, well, if you don't like something, start something. And so I started looking into starting a youth group. And then I got a call from a pastor in Sacramento looking for a youth pastor. And we went down there and became youth pastors in Del Paso Heights. Slowly but surely moved back up towards Oroville. And we were in the Palermo area for 6 years at a church in Palermo. Raised up a really good youth group. And my dad came back to town and my brother, and so our whole family are now working together in ministry. And long story short, I've been a youth pastor now going on 17 years. We have a really good youth group where we're at, and God's moving, and it's cool. We definitely deal with a lot more street kids and kids that normally don't get looked at in the church scene, but we'll take them all. It doesn't matter to us what they look like, so.
Now, you've been pretty much a righteous kid all your life, right? You grew up righteously, you've lived a righteous life, and you're a righteous leader, correct? Or you want to go a little bit into how Chris came to really have a right relationship with Jesus Christ?
I was raised in church, but I was raised in a really old school church, and so...
Go into that a little bit, Chris.
Well, we were raised in church where everything you did was wrong, everything if you wore... Back then, if you wore cutoff shorts or whatever, it was considered bad. You know, you weren't allowed to go to the movies. You weren't allowed to go bowling and things like that. And my parents were always in leadership in church. My dad and mom were always worship leaders. And before my dad got into pastoring, he was always a Sunday school teacher, an elder in the church that everybody went to for answers and whatnot. So I just kind of, we moved around a lot, and I always seemed to find the crowd that I didn't need to be around. When we moved back to Oroville, I found the same crowd. A lot of my friends were either on drugs or in prison now. And the only reason I'm not is because I had praying parents.
Talk about the importance of that, Chris, for parents out there to have children. Talk about the importance of prayer.
You know, my parents never came down on me. They never said, we dislike you. Or I remember very clearly telling my dad that my dad asked me one day, we were passing Jack in a Box in Oroville, and he said, do you even have a relationship with God? Am I a pastor that has a kid that doesn't have a relationship with God? And I said, you know what? I don't have a relationship with God, and I don't want one.
Ooh.
And I think that was really hard for him to hear. And he said, he would bring up different kids in the youth group, and he'd say, well, why can't you be like this kid who worships more, and why can't you be like this kid who really presses in the altars? And I said, yeah, but I know those kids when they're not in church. And so, you know, they can worship all day long, but they don't have a true relationship with God. And so I had a real bitterness towards people in church that were fake. And
they were acting one way on the inside, but showing something completely different on the outside.
Absolutely.
Does that go on today, Chris?
Well, I think it goes on everywhere. I think people act like something that they're not even outside of church. You know, I think people act like something that they're not even in the workplace or wherever. I think when a person finally is who they say they are, I don't care if they're in church or not, that's what the world needs is a real person. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's who they say they are when no one else is around. That's integrity. And when you're somebody who is what you say you are when no one else is around, that's the type of people I want to be around.
people of real character.
Mm-hmm. So about 15 years old, 16 years old, I got in some trouble and I moved. I ended up moving away to Minnesota to live with my grandparents for a while. My parents just got me kind of out of this area. And I was only there for a short time, a few months. It was kind of like a prodigal son moment. I was sitting in a trailer park with my uncle, and he had two children that were there at the time. And the one baby started crying, and I went in to check on the baby, and it had a poopy diaper. And so I changed the diaper, and I went into the kitchen to get some cereal or something. It was early in the morning. There was bugs crawling in the sink and stuff. And I said, I had it a lot better at home. My parents sent me one letter during that time, and it was just my dad, and he said, I just want you to know that we're proud of you, and no matter what life brings you, keep your eyes on God and don't lose sight on God. And I thought, how can they be proud of me? They should be upset at me right now, not giving me a nice letter. And
they had God's love for you, though.
Absolutely.
Knowing your parents, they're full of the love of God.
Yeah, and that's the motto of our church right now is love God, love people. Everybody in our church, that's their motto. We believe in speaking the same thing, you know, being unified as a church and speaking the same words and speaking the same things. And if you have a conversation with me or my brother or my dad, the same ideas are going to come out of us. We're going to speak the same things because that's our vision is to love God, love people. And in Minnesota, you know, I came home.
You were in Minnesota for a while?
Yeah, just for a short time. And after I got that letter and after waking up and seeing the garbage that I was in, I called my dad and I said, I'm coming home. And he said, well, do you have enough money to come home? And I said, I do. And I didn't have enough money to come home. I lied.
Mm.
But I knew the place that I was in, I didn't want to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home, got home and pulled into my house about 5 in the morning. My mom was standing on the front porch and waiting for me. It was an awesome feeling to know that they never stopped loving me. They never gave up on me. And
just like our God.
Absolutely. From there, wasn't too much longer. I got married. And my wife, she was a singer, and so she helps on our worship now and helps me with our youth ministry and helps us. We have a full worship team for our youth ministry, too. Mm. I just started, after that point, I started just trying to encourage young people that I knew on the streets. When we went to Del Paso Heights in Sacramento to be youth pastors, the kids from that area, we had a church that was predominantly old people. We didn't have a whole lot of young people in the church. So the kids that we were finding, it was very hard to grow a youth group there because the neighborhood was so rough. The parents wouldn't let their kids stay out after dark. It was hard to go on trips and stuff. And God just kept moving us back towards Orville. We were in Live Oak for a while, grew a youth group there. And then we came back to Palermo. When I say Palermo and Orville, I kind of use them as the same because we consider Palermo, even though it's a different town, it's...
You look out the back door and there it is.
There it is, yeah. And our church now... We are from the center of Orville. We're 8 miles out of town. We're in a little tiny church in the middle of a cow field.
Mark Holder was on not too long ago. He said you could. He said you could share on anything about reaching people in the middle of a cow field pasture and so on and so forth. So that's kind of interesting that you're talking about that.
Yeah.
Today. And if Mark's out there listening, Mark, just want to say a quick shout out to you and God bless you.
Mark and his family, they come out to our church and
Mark had nothing but a bunch of good stuff to say about you and your family.
Well, good. It's amazing to me, you know, in the summertime. You know, my daughter walked up to my dad a few years ago and she said, Papa, you know, it stinks. And he said, well, look around you, baby. He says, there's nothing but cows out here. Literally, our church is surrounded by cow fields and the Orville cannery dumps all their old waste and everything, little ways from our church. And so in the summertime, it stinks, but it's amazing that God can grow something out of nothing.
That's exactly how he works, right?
When we came to the church, there was probably maybe 20 people left at the church. They had a 2-day notice that was like a week old for the PG&E, and it was very difficult at first to get going. You don't just happen to drive by our church. You either live out there or you don't. And so it really was word of mouth. People started talking about what God was doing, and we started accepting people, not accepting sin, but accepting people.
Talk about that for a second, Chris. Go into that for a second.
You know, I think for a long time, people thought, well, I can't go to church until I clean myself up. I think the church, even though we said that a lot, we said, oh, no, come to church anyway. It was still, we would want them to be cleaned up already when they got there. We've said this a lot. The church used to be really good at having church. We used to have some great church services and things, and I've seen God move in many, many ways, but we weren't good at being the church.
And being the church versus doing the church.
Yeah. You know, we talk about duty over obligation. Are we obligated to be there, or are we doing it out of just religious duties, you know? And
is it a want to, or is it a have to type of mentality?
Yeah. Do I have to go to church, or do I want to go to church? Do I have to talk to this person about God, or do I want to talk to
this
person?
You should desire that.
Yeah. And so we just started loving people, and we have the Orville Rescue Mission comes to our church, their drug program, and one of the things that we talked about was we didn't want them to feel like they were a separate entity of our church, but they are part of our church.
Yeah.
They weren't just the drug programs here. We wanted them to feel like they were a part of PBFC. So we love people. That's our thing.
People loving people.
That's right. Ephesians 4:16 talks about all the parts of the body coming together. We believe that every part of the church has a place and has a purpose, and we don't have a whole lot of drama. That's a cool thing.
There's any church out there that has a whole lot of drama?
You know, we don't have any drama. We don't have people fighting for places or anything like that. Everything just kind of runs smooth. God's blessing us.
How many people do you run now?
We run right now for Easter Sunday. We have two services now that we do. We do a 9:30 traditional service with more of like the hymns and things like that. And then we do an 11 o'clock contemporary service. Sunday morning, we had 95 in our first, and we had 230 in our second.
300 people all together.
Yeah, and we usually run, of course, Easter was a holiday. We usually run about 80 in our first and about 130 to 150 in our second.
What's missing in that congregation? Because you're a youth pastor to people that don't normally go to church, right?
No, we have quite a few young people that come to church. I would just say the majority of my young people come to our youth nights. Tonight's our youth night. And we do every Thursday night a youth night called Fusion. And it's for teenagers 12 to 19. We have snack bar. We have all kinds of games and stuff. But then we have a full worship service with preaching as well. I always say we try and mix God and fun together. I want to take young people out of their environment, put them into mine, change their view of their environment, and try and provoke them on what their life choices are, how they line up with God.
Basically from where they're at with their life versus how God would want to have a relationship with them and to have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Continue talking. We got plenty of time. What's next on your heart, or what do you feel like sharing next?
We look at youth groups and we look at how many kids are saved and how many kids are coming. And a lot of times it gets into numbers, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, it's not about the numbers. And for me, it is about the numbers, because if I'm not reaching people, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. If for some reason I only have 5 kids for 5 years, I'm not doing something that I need to do more. Now, that's not saying nothing against anybody that has smaller youth groups. There's a lot of small youth groups that are on fire for God, and I love that. I just want for myself, I want to reach as many people as I possibly can for God. Someone asked me one time, what's your vision statement? What would you say your ministry's goal is? And that was my answer to them. I want to reach as many people for God before he decides to return. Because every parent has a kid that they want to see in church. Every parent has a brother or a sister or a mother or a dad, somebody that needs to come to church to find Christ. I just feel like if I can love them enough, I can show God's love through me to them, no matter what their situation is. Then God can do the work.
That's what it's all about. Just God through you. He can't do it without you. He needs you. Actually, he could do it without you if he chose to, but he chooses to use you, and him through you is what gets the job done, correct?
Yeah.
It's not you trying to do it on your own. And do you have leaders that help you? Do you have people that work with you?
We do. We have a few that have kind of stepped back a little bit, and they've had children, and so it's kind of hard to balance new babies and stuff with youth group, but we have different parents that come out and help sometimes, but usually it's just me and my wife and a couple other people.
How do you reach unchurched kids? How do you reach kids that haven't grown up in the church and kids that are your normal street kids and stuff? How does God use you to reach those types?
I use a lot of social media, Facebook and stuff. I do work at the high schools every once in a while. I do security at the high schools in Orville. And so that gives me an opportunity to form relationships with kids. I don't tell them right off the bat that I'm a youth pastor. Usually when a kid's in trouble or something and I'm having to take them up to the office, they know they're in trouble. I don't want to right there say, hey, by the way, I'm a youth pastor, because that's not, you know, they're not in the mood to hear about God at that point in time. But I'll start a relationship with kids and just befriend them. Just tell them, hey, my name's Chris, you know, and I work here sometimes. And if you ever need something, you know, if you have a problem, you can come talk to me.
Feel free to talk to me, yeah.
And so it opens up a line of communication with them. And then they'll eventually ask me, whoa, is this your only job? Because you're not here all the time. And
I'm undercover youth pastor. You just don't know it.
Yeah. I'll say, no, I work for my church and out with my dad and my brother. And we have a church in Palermo, and I'll start talking to them about that. And they'll either, usually they give me, oh, I don't want to hear about that or whatever. Some have said other choice words, but I still keep that relationship with them. And I don't let that affect my relationship with those kids. And I just tell our youth group, bring your friends. I don't care what your friends say, do. And it was funny, our pastors came a couple weeks ago to help in our snack bar, my mom and dad, and they came to help. And my wife warned my dad, she said, now listen, some of our kids are a little rough around the edges. And he says, well, I don't care. And she says, you may hear some words that are not godly words at youth group. And he says, you know what? I just want to love those kids, because God will put words of wholesome words in their heart. You know, if we can show them Christ, Christ will reveal himself to them. And So we tell kids, we do contests. Hey, whoever brings 10 people to youth group in a month can go to dinner with us. We just try and do outreaches like that.
Not going to cut you off, but we do need to take a break.
Okay.
KKXX listeners, thanks for listening to Christ Today with your host, Curtis Smith. In the studio, we have Chris Jacobson. But we're taking a break right now to let you know that if you love this show, Christ Today, feel free to call 894-7325 and let me know. Not giving away anything on the air today, just giving away encouragement, lifting up the Lord, and doing a good show today. I hope you guys are getting something out of it. And I want to just briefly go over the fact that April 26th, 2015, 6 p.m. at Butte Bible Fellowship, we have Liberty Quartet in concert. And that is at 2255 Pillsbury Road, Chico, 95926 is the zip code. And they're right next to the Almond Orchard Shopping Center. And that is Liberty Quartet. I also want to let you know Thursday nights, which today is the day that we do the recording, and we are on Saturdays. But this is Thursday Night Market. Thursday Night Market, and it is 2015, and it's from April the 2nd through September 24th, 6 to 9 p.m., in the heart of downtown Chico, including special events, activities, and entertainment in City Plaza. You'll have farm-fresh produce, fresh-cut flowers, herbs, and locally prepared foods, and a variety of music and performance, from hip-hop to hula to jazz to alternative rock. So if you're down there and you in the downtown area and you want to stop at the farmer's market, feel free to do so. That's also another thing on the list for today. So we're going to get back to the show again, and hope you're listening. Hope you're having a great day today, being a Saturday that we're coming to you. And hope that you don't get confused that we record on Thursdays, but we come to you on Saturdays. So, Chris, we're back on again. Continue from where you left off.
We were talking about our youth night. Our youth night's cool. It's gotten to where We're running right now between 40 and 50 kids. We were a little bit bigger than that. We've had some kids kind of drop off and graduate and go off to college. So I always hate that time of year when you've poured into a kid maybe for 4 years or 5 years, and then they go off to college and, you know, they've got to make their own decisions. And we understand that, and it's all part of growing up. It's been cool because we've had a lot of our kids that have grown up in our youth group. They've come back. And now they have families, and they are our church now, and which is an amazing thing to me to look out on Sunday mornings. I play drums for our church, and I'll look out Sunday mornings, and I'll see kids that maybe now have two kids or three kids that were in my youth group years ago, 10 years ago. They're out there with their hands raised, worshiping God, and you know, it just makes you feel good, because you don't always see fruit from all of them.
Nope.
But when you do see some of your hard work and what you've poured into people actually pay off, and they're living overcoming successful Christian lives.
Say that again. Overcoming
successful Christian lives.
Give me an example of what that means to you, or how you see that.
I know life is not perfect. I know we have hard times, we have hard situations, we have things that happen in our families that we can't control, but you know, God gives us a promise that we are made more than overcomers. And I don't think that, I think for sometimes we let the devil put just ideas out there that, oh my goodness, my life is over and all these things. And,
yeah.
And as Christians, we're supposed to be overcomers. We're not supposed to always be down in the, you know.
Overcomers, not overcome.
Yeah. We're not trying to reach a point of, you know, God's almost got me where he wants me. No, God's got you right where he wants you.
Exactly.
We just have to learn to walk in that and to walk in his freedom, walk in his victory. You know, I was just telling our youth group the other day, you know, they always quote Psalms at funerals, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And we always think of that scripture and we don't realize that we're walking through that valley. We're not hanging out. We're not hanging out in the bad times and the hard times and all that. We walk through it and God walks through it with us.
Walking through versus hanging out. I like that.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes the first bad thing that happens to us, we want to hang out in that bad situation and just be like, oh God, save me from this bad situation. And God's like, I've already done all the work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just walk in that freedom that and know that I've already paid the debt. I've already paid the cost. You're free to you know, live your life in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's hard for some people, you know.
They don't really understand, I don't think.
No, and not saying that we don't have hard times, we don't have bad times. You know, you look at Jesus' life, and Jesus was perfect. But Jesus had some hard times. His friends betrayed him. You know, his as a child, his own parents forgot him, you know, in the temple. And it took him days to realize that they had forgotten him. You know, here he's the Messiah that's going to save us all, and his parents forget him, you know. And
don't you think God allowed that as a setup for a reason?
Well, I'm sure, you know, God, you know, nothing surprises God.
I don't think your parents could go 2 or 3 days without recognizing they forgot you.
I mean, could you imagine, you know, God's entrusted you to be the mother of the Messiah. And, you know, he's entrusted you to take care of the Savior of the world. And you forget him in town, you know. And it's not like you forget him for 20 minutes and then say, oh, wait, we forgot Jesus back at the store. It took a couple days before they realized that Jesus wasn't with them.
I think a lot of church people have done that, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely.
But go into that a little bit.
Talk to the
people that are your actual church people, and talk to the kids that maybe are church kids, and just really relate with them for a little bit of where your heart's at with them.
Well, I think that our society has become so overwhelmed with drama and so overwhelmed with, I've got this issue or this issue or this issue, and they've got a drug out there for every single issue.
Tell me about it.
And, you know, I've got kids in my youth group that deal with such emotional issues that they can't even be around large groups and things. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, here God says, you know, I want you to have life and that more abundantly. And we're afraid to have an abundant life, because if we have an abundant life, what are we going to do with all of our pain pills and everything else? You know,
but that's death. That's death that the enemy has come to bring upon us.
Absolutely.
He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if Christ takes away that and brings a healing, then we have an abundance of life. And I think we know what to do with death, but we really don't know what to do with the abundance of life.
Yeah. I think for some people, if they didn't have drama, they wouldn't have anything. Or if they didn't have problems, they wouldn't have anything. And, you know, I'm trying to take young people that some of them grow up in some pretty horrific homes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a girl a couple weeks ago, and she put on Facebook, you know, the only quiet place is the driveway, and I'm going to sleep in the driveway tonight. And, you know, for me, that was rough, because this girl you know, she's a new Christian. She's new to church, and she uses foul language on Facebook and all this stuff. And so we set up a thing at our church where I challenged them. I said, okay, guys, from Thursday night till Monday morning, try not to use any foul language on Facebook or social media or anything. And it was that girl and her friends, they didn't make it out of the church parking lot, and they put something on Facebook, and the one blamed the other one. She said it first. And I said, you know what? Hey, just keep swimming, you know, like Nemo, you know. And I said, just keep swimming and keep trying. And that's the thing, you know, when God says, listen, you're free, and I've done all the work, and all you have to do is learn to walk in the freedom.
You're touching on a word there. You're touching on a word. That word is grace.
Absolutely.
You and I have come to really understand that grace. So I'm glad that you're touching on that. Maybe you might want to talk a little bit about grace in your talk.
We were just talking about this the other day, that grace is not a license to sin, but
exactly.
It's freedom from sin.
Exactly.
It you know, grace doesn't say God's going to cover you, because he covers you, you can just live however you want to live.
No, you know, it says because you're covered, you don't want to continue doing that.
Absolutely.
I've got your back, but don't keep doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And if you do that stuff, I'm not, you know, but try to get away from that. And you can get away from that if you recognize that how much grace you have because of Jesus. You don't want to do what displeases him. He didn't give you the grace to go ahead and do whatever you want.
If I love God, I'm not going to cheat on God. I love God, I'm not going to rob God. If I love God, I'm not going to do everything in my power to go against what he would want me to
Makes
do
sense.
For my life.
Makes sense.
And we were talking about David and how in the Bible when Samuel comes to anoint David or comes to anoint the king, he didn't know David at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to Jesse's house and Jesse says, these are all my boys. These are the ones that you're here to anoint. And he goes through every single one of them and he says, nope, none of these are the one. They're not the one. And he says, you got to have somebody else. And he says, well, there is David. You know, when you think about that in itself, Jesse didn't even think highly enough of his own son, David, to be anointed.
I never thought of it that way, but that's true.
He never even thought he was good enough to be recognized by the prophet of God. And so they bring David, and Samuel anoints David. He pours the oil over his head, and he anoints him and says, you're going to be the next king. David was still a boy. He wasn't king yet. He hadn't made it to the palace, but he had to learn how to fight. He had to learn how to fight a bear. He had to learn to fight a lion. Had to learn how to fight a giant. There's lots of things in our lives that we have to learn how to face and get through before we get to the palace.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change the fact that he was anointed.
Nope.
It doesn't change the fact that he was God's chosen person. But he had to learn how to get to where he was going. And so many times in church, we see people that are struggling. They're still saved. But they're learning how to become an overcomer.
Exactly.
They're learning how to be free. They're learning how to get to the palace that God might have them in.
Exactly.
And
that's what they need the grace for. Not to kick down, not to slap around. They need the grace for that. They need to know that hey, you're still a new person. God's retraining you. He's reprogramming you. He's doing. You're going to screw up.
Yeah.
But we love you in spite of yourself.
Well, it's like I'll tell a 15-year-old kid. You know, it's taken you 15 years to get the attitude that you have now. And we'll look at a Christian, and maybe a Christian will be, you know, 50 years old. They get saved at 50. It's been 50 years of them learning a process of who mm-hmm. they are, and so. Yes, they get saved immediately, but their flesh has 50 years of the world that they have to come off.
50 years. That's a long time.
My grandfather was pretty much a horrible person. He was a horrible guy. Alcoholic, beat my dad and his mom and his brothers. You know, just a rough individual, and my grandmother really wasn't no better. And my grandfather left my dad at a very young age. And we never really had a relationship with him. Off and on, we would see him. He lived in Minnesota, and it's kind of funny that was the person that I went to stay with, you know, when I was going through my hard time. And but my grandmother, about 10 years before she passed away, accepted Christ, and we never thought that that she would ever accept Christ. And
God surprises you.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, even for my dad, he was like, I can't believe my mother is a Christian, you know, and she smoked from probably the time that she was 9 years old or so. She smoked cigarettes, and it was something that she would smoke 4 or 5 packs a day. And horrible mouth on her. You know, you never think that your grandmother would have a horrible mouth. Mine did. And but God saved her. And here a couple years ago, my grandfather was diagnosed with brain and lung cancer. Hmm. And we were actually in Reno at my father-in-law's church with my – and we a bunch of us had taken motorcycles over to Reno. And we were talking with my father-in-law, and a guy in our church was actually buying my father-in-law's motorcycle. And while we were there, we get a phone call, and this lady says, are you Chris Jacobson? I said, yes. And she says, well, my name is so-and-so, and I'm from this – it was kind of like a Make-A-Wish Foundation. And my grandfather had contacted them and said – If it's possible, could you please fly my grandson to see me? Mm. And so I went to see him, and he couldn't do much. He kind of just sat at the kitchen table, and he lived in this little hole in the wall apartment. And he had moved to North Dakota, and we were in this little tiny town in Kindred, North Dakota. And he sat there and didn't say much, couldn't talk, you know. His lungs were full of all kinds of junk for all of the years of hard living that he had had. And so I knew I wanted to talk to him about Christ, and I knew I wanted to speak to him about God. You know, he's getting ready to die. But I was so scared to talk to my grandfather, because any other time anybody would ever talk to him about God, he'd hang up on him or cuss him out. And I don't ever want to talk to you again. Don't talk to me about God. And
hard-hearted person.
Yeah, and so I come back to his apartment one day, and I had gone and seen some other family, and he's watching gospel music on TV. And I said, what you watching? And he says, oh, just some singing. And I said, okay. And I said, do you like that? And he goes, yeah, I like it. And I said, oh, cool. And so I sat there for a couple hours and watched some gospel quartets with my grandfather, and I said, I didn't think you liked Christian music. He said, well, he said, there's a pastor in town that's been coming by and seeing me. Mm. And I said, really? And it was a local, I believe he was Lutheran pastor. And he would bring his guitar by and he would sing to my grandfather. And so I was like, oh my gosh, God has already opened a door.
He had a way.
Yeah. And he sent somebody that wasn't even a part of our family.
Yep.
And so about the last night I was there, I asked, he had a girlfriend that lived in the apartment across from him, and she was kind of helping him in the bed for the night. And I said, can I talk to my grandpa for a minute just by myself? And she said, sure. And she left. And so I knelt down beside him in the bed, and I said, hey, you know, Jason, his son, said that, you know, you're kind of scared and, you know, about dying. And he says, yeah, I've been a pretty awful guy. And, I said, well, I said, you know, the Bible says that for those that are in Christ, you know, if once they leave this earth, they are with God in heaven immediately.
So true.
And he said, yeah, but I've been a pretty wicked guy. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. If God saves you, if he forgives you, you're forgiven. And I don't know if it was the first time my grandfather ever prayed the sinner's prayer, but I prayed with him, and you know, I never thought that I'd be praying with my grandfather, you know. And God can save anybody.
Yes, he can.
It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how many bad things you've done. It doesn't matter if you're in prison or what. You know, we look at Paul and Silas. They were in prison, and God still moved on their behalf. And so we just believe at PBFC that God can reach anybody.
God. Palermo Fellowship Christian.
Palermo Bible Family Church.
Palermo Bible Family Church.
Yeah, it was too long of a name, so we just shortened it to PBFC.
Okay.
And so...
we're going to take another break, Chris.
Okay.
All right, listeners, KKXX, Christ Today. Hope you're listening. This is Curtis Smith, and hope you've enjoyed the show so far. We've had a youth pastor on today talking to kids, talking to youth, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But The Growing Place presents Courageous Living DVD Series, TGP, 12-week life skill study. First and third Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., beginning April 18th. And according to my calendar, April 18th is next week, next Saturday. Believe it's next Saturday. Yeah, it's next Saturday, 2015. And that very first one's going to be Understanding Your Emotions by Dr. David Stoop. And it'll be going on till November the 7th. And every 2 weeks or every first and third Saturday, there'll be a different class, a different program, different person doing the classes, ministering. But it's going to be facilitated by Heather Doris, who's a certified life coach. The cost is $5 for each session to pay for use of the space at The Growing Place. And the number there is 588-0448. And the address is 1074 East Avenue, Suite A3, Suite A3. And that's Chico, 95926. Encourage you to go there and check those out. There's a lot of life coaching out there, a lot of counseling out there, a lot of different stuff out there offered to people that are trying to break free and grow in their walk with the Lord and just overcome areas in their life. And just mentioned Judy Thompson on here, and that's okay. It doesn't need to. But, yeah, Heather Doris is a certified life coach facilitator. And if you want to feel free to give a call, you can at 588-0448. And get back to the program. All right, Chris, we're going to get back and finishing up here. We've got a few more minutes. So what's next on your heart that you want to talk about or you want to go into?
Well, we were just talking about how...
You want to continue with that?
Yeah, we were talking about how God can take anybody from nothing, make them into something through him. And that's just our motto at our church, you know.
Take a nobody and make them into somebody.
Yeah, and you know, before Christ, I understand that I was, I may not have been a murderer or anything, but I was still a horrible person, and you know, I was a fleshly person.
BC.
Yeah, and when God took me and saved me, you know, I never thought that I would be blessed like I am. You know, I've got two kids. I've got a wife that has a beautiful voice and sings on our worship team, and my kids are awesome. We've got a beautiful home that we found a lady that just out of the blue blessed us with this home, and we pay rent to her. But it's an unbelievable deal, and it could only be from God, you know. And
by the church or close to the church?
No, we're probably about 10 miles from the church.
Mm.
But it's nice, you know. We're in an area that it's kind of quiet. We're on a dead-end road, you know. But I started working at the church more full-time probably about 2 years ago. And so I'm there every day, except Mondays. Monday's my day off, but... We have people coming through the church all the time, and it's amazing. We do a food program where we give out groceries. We're starting life groups, small groups, and our first life group that we've started is called Pure Desire, and it's about...
Yeah, you're going to do that tonight, right?
No, tonight's our youth night. Tuesday nights is Pure Desire.
Okay.
And that's a night for people that deal with predominantly like sexual addictions, things like that.
And that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
But you don't know it.
And you don't realize it. And in the church, we don't really talk about, you know, that sort of thing. We talk about maybe alcoholism or drug addiction, things like that.
But isn't it sad? We don't talk about it. We don't really focus on it much, but we condemn it the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it makes it embarrassing for people that maybe deal with that sort of thing, you know? But we're trying to help people in that way and reach people. And we have a study course and study guide, and we have some great teachers and that are helping men and women that deal with that. And the on the women's side of it, some of it, it's more geared towards women that have been hurt by sexual addiction. So their husbands, or maybe their husbands had an affair or something. And that doesn't mean that their relationship's over. It just means that it gives God an opportunity to heal.
Yeah.
So we want God to heal their marriage. And mm-hmm. So we're doing that. Thursday nights we do youth. Our youth starts at 6 o'clock p.m. and goes till 8 o'clock. And then in the summertime, it goes from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock when they're out of school. We have a mixed bag of kids that come to youth group.
Mixed bag. Explain that.
We have kids that, let's see, I've had pregnant teen moms come into youth group. Wow. I've had gang members come into youth group. I've had kids with more piercings than they know what to do with till their skin doesn't fit right anymore.
I can just imagine.
Yeah, I've got.
Wow.
I've got kids that play sports. I've got kids that that are good A students at school and everything. You know, everything's fine. Maybe on the physical portion of it.
So you actually do have a mixed bag of kids.
You have
a bunch of kids that God has brought together for the purpose of trying to reach them all for the kingdom.
Absolutely, and you know, I think that any youth group, if you can get kids, you know, if you can get 5 kids that are excited about youth group, maybe not excited about church yet, or maybe not excited about God quite yet, but if they can get excited about their youth group, then they'll reach more kids for you than you could ever try and reach.
That's good.
You know,
that's good.
So that's what we try and do is just promote, tell the kids about it and what we're doing. And when they show up and maybe they don't look like what we want them to look like right away.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully they don't look like you want you. And hopefully God will groom them into the people he wants them to look like.
And he does.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, we got a few more minutes, so let's continue talking. What is something right now that's on your heart that you want to, whether it's adults, whether it's kids, whether it's churches, what's on your heart right now that you want to just take the time to just focus on, to just talk regarding that particular subject that's on your heart right now that you feel that needs to be addressed, that hasn't been addressed yet in our program?
I think that if there was one thing that I think that I would want church goers to understand is it is not our job to change people. It's our job to reach people.
Come on.
And so when people come into church and maybe they don't look like what we think a church goer should look like. I preached a message here about 5 years ago. We had a guy come into our church that was a part of a motorcycle club that was the 1%er motorcycle club. Definitely not a Christian club, but he was their chaplain, and he kind of was one of those guys that, from our point of view, he kind of lived life on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would look at that and say, well, he's not born again. He's not saved. And for some reason, this guy liked me, you know, and we had a good relationship. He was an older guy. And I preached a message one time on being an authentic Christian. And I had him and about four other people on motorcycles ride into our church on motorcycles, on Harleys. And they rev their engines up and everything in the front of the church. And then we had a guy in our that's actually the head of our security team. It's hilarious. He's a motorcycle rider also, but he come in on a silver scooter and with a helmet on, you know, full leathers and everything. And he said, hey, guys, wait for me. I want to be a part of the group. And what I said was, just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you sit in the pew doesn't make you a Christian. What's in your heart makes you a Christian.
That's true.
And, you know, if we had to kick that guy out of church just because, you know, he didn't look the part of who was supposed to be at our church or whatever. And, you know, he was this kind of hardcore guy. You know, he passed away a couple years ago, and he asked me and one other pastor to do his funeral. And that was the happiest moment of his life, was riding that motorcycle into the church.
Wow.
And he, on the big screen at his funeral, they had the picture of him in the front of our church with his motorcycle. And
wow.
There was probably, I don't know, 10 motorcycle clubs at his funeral, including the Hells Angels. And one of the Hells Angels got up and spoke, who's very high and ranked with them, and I was scared to death, man. I didn't know what, I didn't want to disrespect anybody or anything, and the one pastor stood up and he said, you know, this individual, how many of you did he ever talk to about Christ? How many people did he influence towards God? And every single hand in that room went up. And I thought, you know, we may not have agreed with everything that he said his life was about, but one thing we can agree on, and that was that he loved God.
Amen.
And so I just know that's our motive, that's what we want as a church. We want to love God and love people, and we'll do whatever it takes to love God and love people and reach people for Christ.
Wow.
So it's kind of what we're about, just loving God and loving people. Having church and being the church.
Chris, there's a young person out there, I take it right now, possibly listening to the program, and they've been hurt. They've been wounded. And they need someone that's a brother, that's a friend, to just speak to their heart right now. They're hurting, and they need to know that God loves them. Step down from a youth pastor, speak through the mic, and speak to that heart of that young person right now listening. And what would you say to them over the next few minutes? Get real with them and talk with them. What would you say to them about the love of God and about how God sees them? And minister to them, because I honestly believe there's a young person out there today listening. And I just feel that young person needs to hear from the youth, from the heart of a youth pastor that loves them the way Christ loves them.
I would say to this young person that maybe is listening today that the Bible says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. We're not fearfully made in the way that God was scared to make us, but we look at that word fear as a respect word. God loved us so much that we were made in his image, and we were made out of respect. And we were made to be something more than what maybe we are right now. I would tell this young person that the God that created matter thinks that you matter. The God that created the universe took his time to send his son to say, you know what? I'm going to send my son to heal you. God is just a story in 66 books until he becomes real in our life. Until the Bible becomes real in our life, until Jesus comes real in our life, he's just a story. And I always tell people, find a church that's going to love you.
Amen.
Find a church that's going to teach you about Christ and about his grace, about his love and his mercy. And God wants so desperately to have a relationship with every single person. God loves us so much. I think about where I'm at today, and I didn't get here because I'm good with words or because I'm extremely good looking or because I'm this awesome Bible scholar or anything. I didn't get here because of that. I got where I am 100% because of Jesus Christ and his grace and his love and his mercy for me.
Amen.
You know, I had teachers tell me, you're never going to amount to nothing. You're never going to be anything. And if I would have listened to the words of the people around me, I'd be right where all my friends are today. And that's not a good place. I pray for people that I grew up with daily, and I want those people to come to know Christ. And I believe that God will take all the things that we ever did wrong, and he'll turn all the things right. And he'll make us right. And he'll bring peace in your household. He'll bring peace in your relationships. If your parents don't love you, God loves you. There's youth pastors like me out there that love you. There's more than just me that's trying to win the lost. I believe that there's a lot of youth pastors out there that are trying to reach the lost and young people. And just know that people out there love you. God loves you. Find somebody, some way, somehow, that will love you like God loves you. Treat yourself better. Don't treat yourself so badly because of decisions that you make or you've made. Know that you are loved and you're wonderfully and fearfully made in his image.
Well, we've got a few more minutes, but that's pretty good. You know, now, Chris, you guys meet on Thursday nights?
Yeah, for youth
and,
group, yes.
What's your heart? What do you feel God is showing you for the summer, for the near future until he comes again? What are some things you feel that he's preparing you for the future for ministry?
I feel that he's just preparing us for increase. You know, I believe that I have no doubt in my mind that if God can bring 40 to 50 kids every week to the middle of a cow field, then he can bring 100 to 200 to a cow field. I want to see kids in our community. Our community right now, kids are just crazy, you know.
You were talking about that before we came on the show.
Yeah. You know, our schools are messed up. My daughter, she loves to skateboard, and they built a skate park in Orville a while back. And, you know, I don't even take her to the skate park anymore because that's become more of like a ministry ground for me. There's nothing but fights and drugs. And she used to go down there quite a bit, and she's a pretty good little skateboarder. And so now it's, I want to see my community changed. You know, I want to see kids in my community that just run the streets constantly. I want to see them come to
the saving grace.
Yeah, and just think about what they're doing. You know, not just get saved, but think about, okay, why am I making the decisions that I'm making? Why am I making the choices that I'm making? And,
yeah.
And not only help them, but help their parents and help the people that are raising them, their guardians. You know, if they're from foster care, grandparents are raising them, aunts, uncles, whatever it may be. You know, because I hear the way adults speak to kids now, and it's like, it's no wonder that kids are having a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're speaking fear, doubt, and unbelief in your own life, then your kids are going to pick that up, and they're going to speak fear, doubt, and unbelief in their life, and they're going to compensate for
byproduct.
Yeah. They're going to speak it, you know, whatever their environment is, that's what they're going to grow in. Yep. And, that's, you know, I don't want to see any more kids have to go through struggle after struggle after struggle.
Like you did.
Well, and I didn't, and you know, I had a good family.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good upbringing. I just didn't think I was as valuable as I was.
I'm right there with you.
You know,
value is important to people out there to know that you are very valuable to God, that you are very loved, even though you may not feel it, you may not sense it. He loves you in spite of that.
Absolutely. You know, I was going to say, you know, if we don't show young people love, if we don't show them attention, if the church doesn't step up to show the love of Christ, there's a prostitute that will show them love. There's a drug dealer that will show them love.
It's been happening.
There's a gang that will show them love. There's, you know, whatever the situation is, somebody out there will show your kids love and attention. And if we don't, as the church, step up and bring young people into the church, and if you're out there and you're saying, yeah, but I don't want the young people in my church, well, they're gonna be in heaven.
Yep.
So there's gonna be young people in heaven. So you either love them now and let God change them, or we're not gonna see God move in our young people like He should.
There's a lot of them that need Jesus right now.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm with you, Chris. You haven't said it yet, but I'm sure you agree with me. We only have much more time before the Lord returns. But let's just say God does another tarries another 10, 15 years, 20 years, which I don't really see it. But let's just say He did. We want to see people come to Christ. We don't want to see people stifled and not come to Christ. And so people, let Christ be your life. Let Christ love people through you so that more people can come to Christ, so that more people can make it to heaven and have that relationship that Christ intended for them to have. I'm going to leave you with that. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to have Chris Jacobson pray a little.
Father, we just thank you so much for loving us in spite of us, God. And I just know that you are going to do amazing, amazing things through your people. And God, you said if you have one willing vessel, you can do amazing things through that person. And God, we want to be that vessel used by you. Father, if there's any young people out there today that are listening that maybe don't know you or are hurting or afraid or scared or angry, God, I ask right now that you would just fill that room or that car or wherever they're at with peace. God, you said that you are a way maker, you're a peacemaker, God. And I just ask right now that you would calm their spirit, calm their heart. And God, I ask that you would just send somebody that would speak to them today. And Lord, I just know that you're going to do huge, huge things in our community, in Butte County, Northern California. And God, I ask for right now for just a move of God in our schools, in our homes. Father, restore families, restore hearts, restore lives. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, listeners, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week again with our guest in the studio will be Dave Graybill and Dan Martin. And we'll be talking on grace again next week. And have a great week, and God bless you all. And tune in to Christ Today. And thank you for tuning in today. Have a great week now.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today. Inside your-